hurt. They want vengeance. They want to hurt. They want to. And so I just so appreciated her saying, you know, we should always have kindness. Don't demand what you're wanting. Don't say you want people to accept when really we want to ruin. And I got to thinking about that, how these subtle things just come in. And they're like the germs in the air and the things that are around us. And I discovered that an inoculation and a vaccine, while a vaccine inoculation is mostly vaccines, an inoculation can be something else. An inoculation can be putting an effective bacteria, like in the ground even, by farmers or others, if the soil content, the PSA balance and all those things aren't right, they can inoculate the soil so that the crop grows good. Well, they also inoculate by vaccine, and they're going to give you just a little bit of whatever that bad thing is so that your body can figure that out, come up with an antidote, so if you get it in a big way, you won't have it. Your body will know how to get rid of it. Well, I want you to know that God's Word's provided a way for us to get rid of things that are meant to cause disease to our souls. And I believe that He is coming in with this inoculation, and He's wanting to plant the good Word in us because we're walking out among some things that are not good. And He doesn't say, when you're out looking at germs and things, people don't say, ooh, cover your ears, they're sick. They don't say, cover your eyes, somebody's sick. What do they say? What? Cover your mouth, right? And so I think that's a real word for us, how things pass. And the Bible is clear. Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45 both talk about from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm not here tonight to be critical. I'm here tonight to be clerical and say, let's point out these things and grow up, right? Because the times are requiring it. So it's not about your eyes or your ears. I think there's really something in here tonight about the mouth. So we're going to study out of Numbers 17 and specifically verse 8. For those of you who don't know, it's the fourth book in the Bible. Can you say them with me? Genesis, Exodus. Oh, very good. Well, you are going to get a prize later tonight, so just saying. But yes, it's the fourth book in the Old Testament, and it's on page 108 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Now, I really hope that you bring your own Bible so you can take notes, but thanks to Michael, you'll have other notes that you can write on to reference it later. So let me set up where we are. In Numbers chapter 16, there's been a rebellion against Moses and Aaron from Korah, Dathan, and Aram. Okay? So they've come in and they basically said, hey, we can do as good a job as they can. You ever heard somebody complain about people and I can do a better job or I can do whatever? Yeah. So here's the thing I want you to realize. God has put us in a natural authority, and you didn't get under that mean employer by accident. You didn't slip through. You didn't marry the mean spouse because you weren't, you know, you should have done different. God has you where you are to bless you when we walk under authority. Now, I'm not saying walk under abuse. I'm saying walk under authority. And like with Cynthia, I believe that we can pray, and people who are being unreasonable, wherever that kink is, the Holy Spirit is greater than any man, any woman, anything, any law, any rule. He's bigger, and He can get us around those things. So here they are, and they took 250 leaders to form a rebellion. And the word tells us that there was 14,700 people who bought into this. And because of their murmuring and their grumbling, it's not your eyes, it's not your ears, it's your mouth, they came in and they begin to talk against Moses and Aaron. And the very people who were talking against them, they had to go in and stand between the Lord and them to protect them. So here's the thing. I want to talk to you really very quickly about three things you need to be careful about. You know, you need to be careful, like when I'm talking about germs and things, I do encourage you to do this. After you wash your hands in the restroom and you grab a towel, hold on to the handle of the door, use that towel to open the door, hold the door with your foot, and throw the towel away, okay? Right? Yeah, y'all are on that now. Yeah, when you're at the grocery store, they even provide little antibiotic wipes for you to take care of the cart handle so that you're not doing it. We need to be careful where our hands have been, because often when we get in agreement verbally with something, we're going to start putting our hands to it. And so I need to be careful where I'm putting those hands, if I'm putting it in something that's going to bring life or bring death. And by that, I mean to my spirit. So here's the three things I want you to be careful of. Like I tell you, be careful about germs on the door handle and the cart. Number one, be careful of criticism. Criticism comes when things don't go like you want it to go. True or false? That's when criticism comes. It didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen. And guys, that is a reaction of the flesh, not the spirit. And so what we want to do, we automatically, people want to find fault and blame. That's not God's way, okay? It's not how we got here. You know, we don't need to be like this where people don't want to accept responsibility for the fact that their grumbling is wrong. Instead, they want you to agree with them. Oh, you could do a better job. And it's what I call sowing seeds of strife. Because something's being planted, just like that soil has to be inoculated with good bacteria to prevent it, so does the places of our heart. And the good is the word of God. It is the good news. So, you know, really the question is, what's the job that God gave you? Did he give you the job to criticize and fault find other people? Make them pay a price for if they're having favor or doing good? Was that our job? No. What we're really saying, guys, think about it, is God, you got this wrong. This shouldn't be the one. God, you got it wrong. And you're saying, oh, no, that's not it. We just see the fruit. We just see what they're doing. We know that it's wrong. If you know it's wrong, who should you be talking to? Well, hello. Y'all are smart. Absolutely. But you're going to see that God says, not just in chapter 16 and throughout the Bible, but in chapter 17, verse 10, God actually says, they're murmuring against me. So I don't want you to be deceived. When we don't think that things should be the way they are because they're not happening the way I want them to happen, you're really complaining and murmuring against God. You found a weakness. The enemy will try to convince you. You found a weakness in God. And that's not true. The weakness is in us. So be careful about criticism. Be careful about contact. So authority, guys, criticism of others and their authority is only going to bring you harm. Be careful who you get in contact with, okay? Because I'm telling you, Proverbs says, even a fool, when he is silent, is considered wise. There's just things that we should not walk into contact with that. And the reason is because something is going to take root. If you aren't cleaning, you know, your hands, if you aren't cleaning those dirty places, something's going to take root. And it takes root in our heart. And I want you to know that words are dangerous. Words are going to divide my soul and my spirit. And here's how they do it. Words will latch on to emotions, or they'll stroke intellect. Intellect and emotions are found in my soul realm. My soul realm divided from my spirit gets me to thinking I can be independent from what God wants because I got a better plan figured out. And that's what separates you from the hearing the Spirit, is when we belittle the Spirit, thinking, well, you know, that's just not right. You know, I'm so hurt. I just can't get over this. Or when we think, well, I know, look, I see the shortcut. Let's just take the shortcut to this. There's a lot of lessons we need to learn. So my intellect and my emotions, these are the things that can mislead us. And when they mislead us, they lead us into rebellion. And rebellion is separation from God. And that is a spiritual death. And if it's not corrected, it'll end up being an eternal death. Okay, so be careful with criticism, be careful with contact, and be careful with things that are communicable. Okay? Communicable diseases are ones that can be caught. If it's non-communicable, no need to worry. It's not in the air. For instance, you go to the hospital and you visit somebody that has cancer, you're not worried you're going to get cancer. That's not going to jump on you. You can't breathe that in. But man, you go to the hospital and there's some people in there, you know, and they've got bronchitis or they've got the measles or the flu. You'll see people covering up and, you know, some of them even wear goggles. I think they're scared it's going to jump on them. But I remember when B. Manrique was in the hospital and they thought that she had strep. And Henry and B. had flown from Dallas to Seattle to see some of her family and back, and they believed that whatever was in that airplane was airborne, and she breathed it in, and they thought it was strep, and they'd been to the emergency room twice. B wasn't getting any better, and all of a sudden, like, she was getting these huge bruises on her skin. And so they took her to the hospital for another time, and they thought, you know, maybe it was meningitis. So they had Henry downstairs doing a spinal tap on him. Yes, bad me. I had my phone still on. It's blinging. So they had him downstairs doing a spinal tap on him to check for meningitis. And they said, hey, he said, would you sit with B? She's unconscious now. She's in ICU. So I went up there, and I've been with her for probably over an hour. And I was like, Henry, go get something to eat. When you leave there, it was a very invasive procedure to draw this fluid off his spine. And I was like, he hadn't had it. I was like, go get something to eat. I'm with B. I'm fine. So we're in this room, and the guy sitting out there is watching her rhythms, and she's mostly turning purple. Sorry if this is a little graphic. And so she's unconscious, and I'm sitting by her, and I just began to sing, just bringing the praises of the Lord, okay? So I'm singing, and, you know, and I had her hand, and I'm just singing, and all of a sudden I see the look on this guy's face, and he looks at me, and he looks at the monitor, and he looks at me, and then all of a sudden these doctors start rushing around and coming, and I'm just sitting there singing, you know, praises of Jesus over B, and they come in and they have these masks on and all this stuff, and they're rubbing everything, and I'm just sitting there with her, and so they get ready, and, you know, they're like, well, she's going. I was like, what? Yeah. So I call down to get Henry. He calls her son. And, you know, so we're trying to get everybody there, which some made it, some didn't. But I just stayed in the room with her. And so after everything's over, they never defined what was wrong with B. But I said to him, I said, why would you come in with mask on and be so freaked out? And I'm sitting there with nothing and nobody say, we don't know what it is. It could be contagious and airborne. And they're like, well, you know, we don't know. We didn't want to take a risk. I said, but you can take a risk with me, but you're okay, right? And it was like, well, you know, it's a lot of backpedaling. And I heard the Lord say, why are you on that? Didn't I say in my word that no deadly thing, no poisonous thing, didn't, you know, who do you want to be with? I'm your protector. I'm the one who says what can enter your body and what can't. Man, I'm telling you, I was just fine after that. And they're like, you know, do you want to say? I'm like, no, I'm going to be fine. Right? Because it's not just the airborne germs. It's the words of doubt and fear that take root in you and cause the disease of your soul to question God. And that separates you from being able to get into his presence. So it's communicable. Or it's non-communicable. And I know that's Mark 16:18 where he says there's no harm that's going to come to you. But here's the thing. We communicate fear. We share that with our words. And I want to be very clear here, guys. Nobody can heal any broken hearts but the Spirit of God. Nobody can take another man's disappointment, insecurities, fear, whatever it is that's driving them. And you know, Steve has always used that analogy that a shepherd leads and a cattle driver, he drives them and prods. And Jesus is a shepherd. We shouldn't be walking in fear and panic. None of those things are of God. So when we get in that, we have to recognize. But why do you think in the natural it's so important then to cover your mouth? Right? Because we are receiving things. This is so important to me tonight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, because you're my Redeemer. So this is what I believe. I believe that when we, people, well, you know, they did this. Well, honey, I know, but you know, let's just try to love them. Don't do that to people. Don't stroke their hurts. You're reinforcing that they're okay the way they are to be the martyr, to be hurt, to be offended. Is this going deep or y'all don't believe it? Because here's what I'm telling you. When you let people believe that they've got it so bad that God can't intervene and help them, and you just feel you need to stroke them, it's a sign that you don't believe it either. But here's what we do. We come alongside and we say, Cynthia, you've been mistreated. We're going to stand firm that you are the daughter of the Most High God. We're going to believe in favor. If he can heal you miraculously from a wheelchair and a walker, the Spirit of God can move on those people and touch you. We do not stand in agreement with offense and unforgiveness. We believe in being the people who show the way out instead of the reason to stay in. So those are the first three things I want to tell you. Luke 9:23, he says you got to take up your cross. There's going to be suffering. We got to deny ourselves. And that's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. And I'm going to tell you something. The blood is the greatest antidote, super serum you could ever have for anything that the world wants to try to inflict upon you, whether you're there by chance or not. Some of you are like, you don't understand. I get in these groups and I'm overwhelmed. If I say something, pick up your cross. Well, what is a cross? Cross is just dead wood. Let's look at that dead wood. Let's look at what it was in number 17 that happened. Let's read this text together. The next day Moses entered the tent and saw Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Let me just tell you this. We talked about this last week. Trials are intended to make us think, to wean us from the world, not to make us dependent on it, but to wean us from the world, to send us to the Bible, and to drive us to our knees. Trials are going to lead you closer to God, because the weaker you are, the stronger he is. Doesn't make sense. It's never going to make sense, because it's against the world's teaching. It's against what the enemy says. It is a place where we're not going to walk in the soul realm, but we're going to walk in the spirit. Last week, who can remember the two things I said that were essential to your walk with Christ? Compassion and confidence. You guys are rocking this tonight. Yes, compassion and confidence. But here's the thing. Whatever's hindering you, yes, we have to shake it off, but it's the thing that wants to hinder your hand from getting agreement with your faith in him. That's why I believe faith without works is dead. There's times when he's going to say, do nothing, be still, and that's going to be so much harder than doing something. And then when he says, do something, it's going to be harder than being still. Why? Because that's a growth and a maturing process. So the Lord tells Moses, he said, here's how we're going to settle this. I've heard him grumbling against you, and I'm done. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. There's 12 tribes. So they're grumbling against you and Aaron. Aaron's going to represent the tribe of Levi. Do you know what Levi represents? Priest. Okay, that's where the priest came from. So now they're going against the one who should be in spiritual oversight. So he says to him, he says, here's what you're going to do. Each of them are going to bring a rod. Well, what that really means, it's like a walking stick or a staff. So this is not only, you can't walk with a new branch. Why? Because it's still got its life-giving flow. It's going to bend and give. You got to wait till that thing's really dried out. And then it'll become harder and firmer, right? So they were using that. Listen with spiritual ears. They're all using something that is cut off from life to support them. Okay? Dead wood. So he says to them, get everybody's rod, their staff, if you will, walking stick, whatever. One just no little thing, okay? And he says, I want you to go in and you're going to write the name of the representative, whoever's doing the griping, whoever's just being silent, who's ever believing. Listen, you can have really great people, really bad people, and people that just are on the fence. But it doesn't matter. There can only be one choice of God for authority. For us as believers in this room, it's Jesus Christ, okay? But he sets us in authority under different people because those people are hearing from God for the group. So he comes in and he says, okay, so write Aaron's name on the one for the tribe of Levi. So Benjamin, Dan, all of them had their representative. And he took it to the holy place where nobody could get into it because the presence of God would have killed them if they'd walked in and cheated. So it's in there, right? So the next day they go in and here's what happens. It buds and it blossoms and then it produces almonds. So here's the thing. I want you to see that we need the word. Exodus 25 says that almonds, the almond buds and blossoms on the candlestick, that actually where the light was, the actual bowl where the candle was, he said that that was supposed to look like an almond blossom. And on the vine work, the beautiful work under the candlestick, that was to have the almonds and the leaves running all through it. So I believe that that is meaning that we need the light. What is the word? Thy word is what? Lamp unto my feet and a... Yes, so we need that. That's Psalms 119, 105. Then Isaiah 8, 19 through 20, and you can write these down or you can keep turning. I like to hear the pages or the clicking on the phone as long as I know you're on your Bible app. Just saying. But here's the thing. He's saying, don't listen to mutterings. See, when people have something critical to say and fault find, they don't come to you. If somebody loved you and they really believed you were doing something wrong, they would come to you. And we'll get in this in a minute. But they would come with peace. Hey, a little concerned here. Here's kind of what, you know, just want you to know. I feel like you were here with the Lord. Now you've taken on these things that have taken on your affections or whatever it is, okay? But you would want to bring it to that person because that's what he says. Go to them. But when somebody mutters and hides in the shadows, you've heard me say it, your sin is where your secrets are. Hello, everybody who ate candy in the dark, right? But Acts 17 says that when they were on the road, the Bereans, even though they were looked at less than, the Bereans began to measure things up, these teachings about the law after Jesus came, they become to measure them up with the word to say, that's not right. So that's why we have Bereans today. But here's the thing. How can I know when the word is misused? Because somebody can use the word to make you think they're telling you the right thing. Well, you know, the Bible says. Here's the difference. 1 John 5:6 says that the Spirit is truth. And this is this passage that, you know, I've told you so many times, I consider like a chiropractic adjustment. And it's James chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 14. And I didn't number that page for you, but it's right after Hebrews. It's going to be page 855 in your pew Bible. And it says that there's two kinds of wisdom. See, I'm not saying the world's not smart. I'm just saying the world's not God smart. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Verse 13. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. See, a lot of people do good deeds, but they want you to know it. This is saying in humility. This means like they don't get to know. I don't mean this in a bragging way. I just want you to understand, you know, I've been driving by the park every day on Haltom Road to see the progress. And so I decided that I was going to stop and get donuts for these guys because they are there at 7 in the morning. And so it was about 7:30, so I went and got donuts, and I took to them, and I was like, I don't tell people when I do stuff like that, right? So we're at this parks board meeting, and this man looks across the table, and he goes, Council lady? I was like, yes. He goes, I know what you did. I was like, yes. He goes, I went to the park to check on things, and they told me there was a council lady out there who brought them donuts. And I was, well, first he said, I know you took donuts. I was like, how did you know that? And he said, I went, and they told me, hey, this council lady came out here, and she gave us donuts, and she was so gracious. That's not to pump me up. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. If God wants to pump you up, somebody else is going to be the one that waves your flag. You don't have to do it. But when somebody needs to wave their flag all the time, well, you know, but I did. I didn't get credit, or I could do this better. It's based on insecurity, immaturity, or fear of failure. Okay? None of those things are in God's tool belt. They're not going to be effective for you. So he says these things should be done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy or selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, and it's in quotes, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Your King James will say demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Why? Because it's communicable. It's spread out in the air, and some people catch it. And they don't check for symptoms. But God is telling you, here's the symptoms of this disease. And so he says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first pure, then it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So, yeah. So here's the thing. You already said, well, I don't know what fruit is. Yeah, you do. Steve did a whole teaching on it out of Galatians 5. But here's the thing. I got to have the Spirit with the Word, or I can be convinced that my way or their way or your way is the better way. And we're supposed to go with, as Annette Langford says, oh, y'all been listening to Annette. That's so good. Yahweh. That's right. So here's the thing. We know that in Jeremiah, he said, you know what? I'm just going to quit. I've had enough of these people. I keep going in there to give them your word. Is anybody relating to this? I keep going in there. I keep standing in. I keep believing the right things. And now that they found me, they've thrown me into a pit. And God, all I was trying to do was help. I'm just going to quit. I'm done. But you know what happened? He got down in that pit, and the Word of God hit him, and he said it was like fire shut up in his bones. And I believe that's because that the Spirit of God unleashed on him the praise of what God had done for him, and it ignited that Word to say, nothing's going to stop me from telling who God is. And listen to me tonight. There's people who need to see you and me in a pit so we know that they don't have to quit. They need to know how to get out of the pit. You're going to have the trial. You're going to have the temptation. Those things are to draw us closer to God. They're not going to hurt us. They're not going to destroy us. They are going to lead us in a more mature relationship. So, man, he's coming in here, and he's just trying to figure all this out. Now I want you to see how the bud, the blossom, and the fruit that happened when Moses went in, the one that blossomed, the one that bore fruit, the almonds, was Aaron's. I believe when that happened that there was two things that happened. Not only did it establish Aaron as the leader, but it humbled Aaron that after all his failure, God could still use him. Who is listening in this room? Because Aaron wasn't perfect. He himself had rebelled against Moses. He himself had gotten in agreement with the people. And I want you to know tonight, whatever position God has placed you, whatever position God has placed me in, it doesn't matter how much we failed. The Spirit of God will prevail. That's a word for you tonight to latch onto for those of you who've been buying this toxic, poisonous thing that you can't do something. Yes, you can. So he comes in and there's the bud. First, the bud is the promise of something to come. Then there's the blossom. The almond blossom actually has five petals to it. Do you know what five represents? Yes, my smart friends, that's right, grace. I don't think that's a coincidence. And so the grace of God, now because of Jesus Christ, that almond, that blossom. Then there's the fruit that came forth. It wasn't just partial. It wasn't just, well, you're doing, that's just all right. You don't need to do any more. Look how painful that was for you to grow that much in God. No, guys, see it through. Let the fruit come. Don't stop. Why would you want to go halfway with your pain when the pain is producing something that's going to bring glory to God and strength and refreshing to you? So here's how this parallels. Everything in the Old Testament, I believe, is a story. It's an illustration. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus, right? Well, here's the thing. You got the barren wood of the cross. And they're thinking that the barren wood cannot produce fruit, that they're going to bring death by a work of man's hands. But what happened? Oh, Isaiah says in 11 verses 1 through 3 that he was the rod. He was the root of David, the rod, the shoot that came forth that will blossom and bloom. See, that was prophetic to who he was. I want to tell you, you're not going to stop him. He's going to prove life is going to come forth. And not only did life come forth, but the fruit was manifest through his life. So let's talk about that. Well, you know, we've been taught the fruit of the Spirit is love, you know, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, right? Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. Everything you need is total and complete in Him. And He said the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. So anytime somebody's not operating in love, don't follow them. And I'm talking about love of Jesus. Because see, if I love Jesus, I'm going to love you more than I love me. And I'm not talking, this isn't husband-wife stuff where the man's supposed to lay down his life and, you know, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm saying as anybody is believer to believer, I'm supposed to be looking out for you more than I'm looking out for me. Well, Jesus is with his disciples, and you know everything that happened wasn't coincidence. Everything was a lesson. You and I, everything that's happening to us is a lesson. You're not being mistreated. You're not being looked down on. You're not being cast aside. Woe-de-woe. I always think of Sandy Pettis. That's what she always said. Living in the woe-de-woes. No, you're more than a conqueror. So Jesus is walking along. This is out of Mark 11, verse 13 is the meat of it. But he's walking along, and he's tired, and he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree. The fig tree has leaves on it, but it's not time for the figs. But it looks good. It's showing promise. It's saying to others, I got something for you. Because what would happen on the fig trees in Israel, the first crop would not be the sweetest and the tenderest. They'd be smaller figs, but they would satisfy you. So Jesus is not asking us, here with spiritual ears, Jesus isn't asking us to produce something that's the best, that's the biggest, that's even the sweetest. He knows that our first crop is probably going to be pretty little. But if I've bloomed, if I put the bud out there and I'm blooming and I look like there's promise, I better have some fruit under there. But when he looked under the leaves, Lord, there was nothing. And so he said, you're cursed. You're going to dry up and wither at the roots. And I pray in Jesus' name, anything that's not producing fruit in our lives, we can get before God and say, Lord, help that thing to dry up and wither off of my life. Yeah. Why? Because if it doesn't satisfy Jesus, it's not going to satisfy you and me. Man, so he comes in here with this. But we got to go beyond the beauty. We got to go beyond what looks pretty into the thing that's going to produce fruit. Because when the fruit comes forth, the flower dies. See, it's not about how good I look. It's about, am I producing something that's going to give life to somebody else? Yeah. So, man, we come in here with this. I remember, you know, my mom would sell the squash blossoms to the country club in the little town we lived in because they'd have this squash blossom salad, right? But she would only sell so many. And I would say, well, there's more. And she'd go, no, leave those alone. We want squash. It hadn't finished its job, right? So when the squash comes, it just looked like something dried up. Why? Because people aren't supposed to be looking at you and me. We're supposed to be producing something life-giving. In any ministry you're in, if you're more concerned about how you look than the fruit you're producing, may it dry up and wither in the name of Jesus. Because the world is looking. If I've got a leaf on me, Tabitha, I want there to be something life-giving. And he's not saying, do the best, be the biggest. But what does he say to bring? First fruits. I want your first fruit. And that goes all the way back and it continues all the way forward. Doesn't say it has to be perfect. He doesn't say it has to be bigger than somebody else's. Those are worldly comparisons. But here's the thing I want you to know tonight. I got to be led by love. If they're not motivated by love, if they're touting them more than they're looking out for you, if they want somebody to be on team me, get away. Because they're not looking out for you. That's the word. I'm not making this up. And the second thing I want you to know, if they're not motivated by love, if you don't have peace, don't get in agreement. You ever had somebody set you straight instead of set you free? Did you have peace? Was it enjoyable? At the end of the day, were you like, praise God, I just got set straight? No, that's not a budding rod. That is murmuring and complaining, and it is death. But good news, friends, death overcame the dead wood when Jesus rose from the dead. And he said, not only will I do things, but you're going to do greater things. Well, that can't be so. You're Jesus. Are you calling me a liar, Gay? Well, I don't understand it. I didn't ask you to walk by sight. I didn't ask you to walk by intellect. I didn't ask you to walk by what your emotions are. If I've placed you here, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to prosper, and the kingdom will advance, and you'll mature. And the next time you go through this, the next season of this, you'll be smarter and more mature, and your fruit will be sweeter because you'll let me have my perfect work. He's so good. So let me ask you tonight, do you have joy or dread? You got peace or drama? Now, think. Who's trying to give you a world disease? And I ain't talking no STDs. I'm talking who's trying to put something off on you to get you to lose your peace and get in agreement with anger? Who's trying to, listen, cover your mouth. these things that you're hearing, God can redeem that. Pray, Lord, cover that hearing. I know what I'm seeing. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I'm going to line it up with the Word, and the Word's going to bring to me the Spirit, because the Word and the Spirit work as one. And if it doesn't have the character of Jesus Christ, if you need to blame somebody or shame somebody to make you look good, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. Don't buy into that. Cover your mouth, wash your hands, have clean hands and a pure heart. But I want you to have joy. Well, anybody go through things and you just want to say, you know what, Gay, that is not fun and I don't enjoy it? I'm convinced it's our flesh that keeps us out of places that we long to enter. And that's what happened to those people in the children of Israel. 250 leaders, 14,700 people. But according to the Word, when they were numbered, when they crossed over, there was 610,000 plus just the family men. So an estimate would be, the scholars believe, over 2.5 million people passed over into the promised land. But that was after the gripers and the complainers had to die off, because it was a disease of murmuring and complaining and misbelief that had to die out. So comparison, 250 leaders, 14,700 people. That was so minute compared to the million crossing. It doesn't take a large number to do damage when it's disease. Do you need a 1-acre fire to start a 100-acre fire? No. Do you need one Ebola virus to start a whole nation? Yeah, it doesn't take a lot. So I'm just telling you, be careful, because we say, oh, that's just a little, it's okay. Be careful. Be careful with criticism. Be careful with things that are contagious. Be careful with things that are communicable, can pass on. Be careful. Always include the Spirit. Always include the Word. And keep your joy. So tonight, I have an almond joy for everybody in here. Because we're going to have the almond. Michael, you want to help me again? I want you to stand with me. We're going to take that fruit, and it's sweet, right? But there's something that's so important. It's a little graphic. Stay with me. Did you ever go into a room and there was just a smell of someone who's sick? There was just that something in right, yeah? You know, the Bible talks about in Revelation 8, and there's another place, is it Acts or Corinthians, where he talks about that it was a sweet smell that went up before the Lord. He says that the prayers, the incense of the prayers of the saints in Revelation, I think it's verse 13 and 14 both, he says it goes up to me as a sweet-smelling savor. And I remember I was in that prayer room one time and I was praying, and I just stopped and I said, God, how do I smell to you? Like, really, am I just full of toxins and I don't even know it, and I'm griping and complaining to you? Or God, am I saying something that is bringing that sweet smell to you, that you can take, that you recognize as a sweet sacrifice? Because when you crush the blossom, that's what makes the perfume. And I want to tell you, I don't think there's one place where you've been crushed that it's not gone up before the Lord and been noticed and been to Him a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Not to be boastful, but how many of you in this room, you put up with something because you know the Lord told you to do it, and you may not have always done it right, but you knew in the end that you were doing it to please the Lord? Raise your hand. Guys, this should be a comfort to you, because those who remain faithful, He is faithful as what? We are faithful to Him. To Him. And there's going to be some places you go to, then that's the only way you're going to be faithful, is doing it for Him, because we got to bypass. We got to bypass that hurt and pain and say no to the emotion and no to our intellect and yes to the Lord. And He will use your intellect and He will use your emotions to give you power, ideas, things you could have never come up with before when we stay yielded to Him. Amen? So I want you to have your joy, but I want you to follow love. I want you to be led by peace. And I want you to have joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? You're going to bear fruit. I would just wish I could look every one of you in the eyes, right? You're going to bear fruit. I don't care what your failure was. I don't care where you think you don't understand and you don't have wisdom and you're not. Doesn't matter. He redeemed Aaron. He gave him that authority, and God wants you to go back in and take over your authority. Not to abuse, but to love and to bring life and bear fruit. Amen? Let's pray right now. If you're hurting over something, I'd like for you just, nobody's looking because, you know, we're not that group. But if you'll just lift your hands right now, I just want the Lord to do something in your heart. I want Him to speak to you. I want Him to touch you right now with His sweet Spirit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just got my hand up, God, because You've got to be my healer. You're the only antidote. You're the only super serum. I remember the blood of Jesus and Your suffering, and I don't want it to be for nothing. I'm redeeming that prescription. I'm redeeming that medicine from the cross into my life right now. I'm asking for healing, God, from these emotional scars, from physical scars, from failure. I'm asking for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Set me right with You, God. Right now, Father, for those who just, they're looking, God, they're looking, Lord, to produce fruit, I'm asking You right now, God, if it's become a burden to them, if they're being driven and not led by Your Spirit, we release that off of them in the name of Jesus. God, fruit comes in Your season and in Your time. Your Word says to all things there's a season and a time. And so we release that to You, God, because everyone in this room will produce fruit. It's going to happen, God. And we're grateful for that promise, that You never leave us and You'll never forsake us. So Lord, right now we just speak peace, we speak love, and we speak joy over those tonight, God, who've come to hear Your Word. Let us move forward, God, with confidence and compassion to serve You. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Now the Lord is doing a work in you. So don't go home and turn on the television. Go home and listen to some praise music or get your Bible out and just water whatever God's doing. If you need to write in a journal, this tonight I heard this has been keeping me away, write it in there and whatever notes came to you so that you can go back and reread it later and go, okay, I don't want to forget that. He's going to get me through it. Amen? Amen. Saturday, 8 o'clock, the men are having a breakfast here at the church. So if you'll come through these doors over here, the office doors, they're going to have a breakfast. You know your job? Do you know what your job is to do, men? Bring someone with you. Guys need that. Looking forward to you being here for that. And then next Monday night, after Bible study, the guys are going to set up for Harvest Fest. Am I telling the truth, Gary? Thank you. If you have questions about it, Gary's back there. You can ask him. Glad to see our Deacon Gary here tonight. Amen. God bless you.